I want to invite you to open to Hebrews chapter 1. That's going to be the scripture that we are in this morning. And in a moment, we're going to read it and pray. But as you turn there, I want to ask you the question, how much time do you spend thinking to yourself, what does God want with my life? What does God want with my relationships? What does God want with my studies? What does God want with my career? What does God want with my life? I selected this passage to teach from this morning, thinking about our high school seniors and thinking, praying, hoping that this question was really burned into their thinking. What does God want with my life? I really hope that's what our seniors are thinking about and that they're passionate about pursuing. But I also realize that just like I had that question back in 1999, in 2018, I'm still asking that question on a consistent basis. What does God want with me now in this season of life, in this season of my ministry, in this season of my marriage, in this season of parenthood, in this season of my friendships, in this season of me being a son, in this season of me being a brother, in this season of me being a friend? What does God want with my life? And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be thinking about and studying through the Bible and the places that it talks about how to understand what God wants with our life. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody and you really wanted to do what they wanted you to do? You really wanted them to be pleased with you. You really wanted them to be satisfied with you. Maybe this has been a relationship with you and your employer. And you think to yourself, gosh, I just wish I knew what my boss wanted so that I could do it because I want my boss to be pleased with my work. Maybe this morning you're here and you're saying, I wish I knew what God wanted with my life because I love God. I love being with God's people. I love singing songs that honor and glorify God. There's everything about God that I love, but I just wish I knew what He wanted so that I could do it. That's what we're studying over the next 3 weeks, partly to honor the high school seniors and encouraging them and clapping for them and cheering for them and saying, go find what God wants you to do and do it. Not what your professors want you to do or your bosses want you to do or even what your own heart wants you to do, but do what it is that God wants you to do. And I just realized we all have that question. We all have that sense about us. What is it that the Lord wants from me? How do I find the will of God? Is the fancy way to say, what does God want with my life? And so I want to help guide you to the answer of that question over the next 3 weeks. And we're going to start this morning by looking at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. We're just studying two verses this morning. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed the heir of all things, and through whom also He has created the world. Lord, I pray to You right now in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. And my prayer is that for the believer, You would illuminate the meaning and the application of this scripture. And I also pray, Lord, that for those who are here this morning who have never established a relationship with You, for those who are here this morning that are spiritual, that think about You but have never bowed to You, have never surrendered to You, have never accepted Your free gift of mercy and forgiveness, I pray that this morning that Your Spirit would bring them into our family. I pray this morning that this would be the day of salvation for them. I pray this morning that they would know that they're loved and that You would bring them into salvation. And again, Lord, I pray for the believer. As we look at this scripture, would You bless it as we study it, as we think about what You want with our lives? Lord, help us to honor You in all that we say and do, and especially now as we study Your word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. What does God want with me? We're going to answer that over the next 3 weeks. This morning, I want to make one super big, important point. And I want to convince you of this. And I want you to leave this morning never wondering about this one thing again. And I want you to be so convinced of it that you teach it to everybody that you meet. And I want you to be so convinced of it that your life reflects it and that your life is shaped by it. And I want you to be so convinced of it this morning that at some points in your life, you just erupt with worship and praise because it's so true and it's accurate. Because Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 teach us one important point, and that is that the Lord is committed to you knowing what He wants with your life. God is more committed to you knowing what He wants with your life than you are committed to knowing what He wants with your life. In other words, if you were to take a thermometer and you were to gauge the passion, the level of passion that you have to know what it is that God wants with your life, it would be like a 0.072 compared to the 10,000 level that God has. God wants for you to know what it is that He has for your life. God is not a secretive God. God is not a hush-hush God. God is not a God that hides Himself from you. The scripture teaches in Hebrews chapter 1 that God has an incredible passion for you to understand what He wants with your life. Now think about how amazing this is. We are but His creatures. We are creatures. We are beings that are created in the image of God with His design, with our design in His brain. And He spoke into existence all of creation, and then He made us out of dust, and He breathed into our nostrils, the scripture says, the breath of life, and we became living beings. And so here we are in this garden, and here God is, high and holy and lifted up. And how amazing of a thought is it that the God who is holy, the God of heaven, the God of all of the world, is committed to speaking to you what it is that He specifically has for your life. You see, God is high and lifted up, but He's also a very personal God. And He's so interested in you. And He so loves you. And He's so committed to your development as a child of God, that the scripture says He is committed to communicating to you what it is that He wants with your life. I want you to see a couple of things in this scripture. It's going to be so interesting for you this morning. Two verses. There is just a treasure of material in two verses. I want you to write down a couple of words. I want you to write down the word consistent, and I want you to write down the word creative, because that is the two words that characterize God's involvement in our life since the very beginning of time. The scripture says, long ago and in various ways, God spoke to us through the prophets. And so we have consistency. Long ago, all the way back to the garden, all the way up to this very moment in 2018, God has been consistent to speak to His creation. Since the moment that you were born, since the moment that you took your first breath, since the moment that you began screaming in that hospital room or whatever room that you were born in, God has been committed to speaking to you. He is committed to communicating with you. And so one of the words that I want you to really lock in on this morning is the word consistent. God is consistently speaking to creation, but He's also creative. And I appreciate this about the Lord. I appreciate that the Lord is creative on how He speaks to us. I appreciate the fact that God wants to communicate His love to humankind, so He says it 700,000 different ways. I mean, aren't you impressed with people? Don't you feel special when people do a number of things to communicate their love for you? Ladies who are married, isn't it true that you like to hear your husband say, I love you, baby? In that voice that they do, I love you, baby. But don't you appreciate that it's not just one way that your husband would show you? Husbands, isn't it the same for spouses? Those of you who are dating, those of you who have fiancés right now, isn't it true that your fiancé shows you that he or she loves you in more than one way? You see, when we are madly in love with people, when we are committed to people to love them, isn't it true whether it's a romantic relationship or whether it's a child and parent relationship, whatever relationship it may be, isn't it true that when we are truly committed to them, we show them love in a number of different ways? We communicate our commitment to them. We communicate our love for them over and over and over in different creative ways. God does the same for us. You can go back and look in the scriptures. Go back and do a study of the prophets, and you will find that God is the most creative being when it comes to communicating with people. Word pictures, actions, sermons, angels. There's all these different ways that God creatively speaks to us since history began. I guess I'm making a big deal about this because I want you to comprehend. I want you to comprehend how seriously God takes you. I understand that it's not about us. I understand it's about the Lord. But I just believe that if the eyes of our heart could grasp how consistent and how creative our Lord is to speak to us his will and his desire for our life, it would revolutionize how we see ourselves. It would revolutionize how we see this world. It would revolutionize the things that we value, the things that we hunger for, and the things that we long for. This passage also tells us two important things about Jesus, and I certainly can't pass them over. I wouldn't be responsible if I didn't point out to you the two things that this passage tells us about Jesus. The first is that he is the heir of all things. All things belong to him. Every noun that you can think of in your head right now belongs to Jesus. And now I've just lost you for the rest of the sermon, haven't I? All things belong. He is the heir of all things. He inherits all things from the Father. And I want you to look also at the next phrase, the very last phrase of verse 2, through whom also he created the world. Jesus not only owns all things, he created all things. And it says that though in the past God was consistent and creative with how he spoke to the world, in these last days he has spoke to us through his Son. I want to share with you two scriptures as it relates to knowing the heart and the will of God. John chapter 14 verses 7 and 9. The scripture says that if you know the heart of Jesus, you know the heart of God. Because it says, if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. And so as we're asking, how is it that the God the Father, how is it that the creator of all things, of all of the universe, how does he want me to live my life? Listen to the voice and the teachings of Jesus. Because the scripture says that if you have seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you had heard from Jesus, you have heard from the Father. And so that's found in the Gospel of John. If you're making notes, John chapter 14. John chapter 12, verse 49 says this, for, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. So this morning, in this year, in this moment, in the seat that you're sitting in, if you have a hunger and a passion to answer the question, what does the Father want with my life? The question is, listen to the teachings of Jesus, because Jesus says that he is speaking only what the Father has given him to say. And that's not all the ways that God has spoken to us. Let me give you three more ways that God has spoken to us. And then I want to answer an important question. I want to answer the question, if God is so consistent and creative in communicating with us what he wants for our life, why is it then that some of us still don't know what God wants with our life? That's a fair question. If God is so able and consistent and creative to tell us what he wants, why are some of us still scratching our heads going, what does God want with my life? We're going to answer that in just a second. But before we do, I want to share with you three times in the scripture, God demonstrates that he wants for us to know his will for our life. The first is in the garden, and God explicitly and plainly spoke to Adam and said, "Do not eat the fruit of this tree." From the very beginning, the first human being received the instructions of the Lord on what God wanted with his life. Another way that God is consistently speaking to us and teaching us what he wants for our lives is through the work of the Spirit of God. Now, I don't know how much teaching you have heard about the role and the work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the third person in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When people are baptized, you hear that phrase said over and over and over. But the Spirit of God is another gift that we have from the Father that teaches us what it is that God wants with our life. Now, for some of you, the role of the Spirit in your life is to convict you of sin so that you will turn from your sin and surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus and so that you will be saved. And for those people who have never began a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that is the way that the Spirit works in your life. The Spirit teaches you of your need for salvation. The Spirit teaches you that you need to cry out to the Lord Jesus to save you from your sins. The Spirit works in your heart to convince you that you need God. And I could preach for 4 hours and not convince you, but the Spirit can speak one word to you and you realize that you need to be saved. But for those of us who are believers, the Spirit also works in our life. And specifically, if you're making notes, the word for it is sanctification. It is the process by which the Spirit of God works in our lives to make us more holy and to make us the people that the Lord desires for us to be. So if you're in here and you're saved, you're a person of God, you're a person of faith, you can look at your life and you can say, I can see evidence of God working in my life. I'm not where I want to be. I'm not at the spot that I need to be, but I can see evidence of the work of God in my life, and I can see how God is step by step, sometimes baby step by step, baby step, taking me to where he wants me to be. That's called sanctification. That is the work of the Spirit. So for those who don't know Christ, the Spirit brings them to receive Christ. And for those who do know Christ, the Spirit of God leads in sanctification. Another way to say that is that the Spirit of God rebukes believers when they live in sin. That's another creative way. That's another consistent way that God continually teaches us what he wants for our life. It would be a fundamental error for me to not tell you that the scripture is the primary way that the Lord teaches us what he wants for our life. And so if you're here this morning and you have a massive hunger to know what God wants for your life, then you need to get into the Word of God, because the scripture is God's word. And when I say that, here's what I mean. I mean that God inspired the authors to write it down. I mean that God guided the authors as they wrote it down. And I mean that God preserved it so that not only did the authors write it down by the guidance of the Lord, but in 2018, we can pick up a copy and trust that God has preserved it. And so when we say, God, what do you want with my life? Speak to me from heaven, O Lord, and reveal to me through this great vision what it is that you want for my life. God says, I'm not speaking to you from heaven. I'm speaking to you from your bookshelf, that Bible that you have on your bookshelf that you haven't opened in 6 months. Why don't you start there? Because if we want to know what God wants with our life, here's where we start. So the question then becomes, if God is so committed and so consistent in communicating to creation what it is that he wants for our individual and personal lives. I don't just mean corporately. I don't just mean all of humanity. I mean you as an individual human being. God is committed to communicating to you what he wants with your life. For me, that's exciting. But if that's true, then why is it that some of us are still missing the word? How is it, if it's true, if Hebrews 1 is so true, that God is committed to speaking into our lives what it is that he wants? If it is true that over and over and over God makes it clear what he wants his believers to do, how can it be that there are some people here who, if they were to stand up and testify, they would stand up and say, I got nothing. I don't know what God wants. That's why I'm here, preacher. You're supposed to tell me what God wants with my life, because I'm hungry to do the work of God, but I don't know what he wants. How can it be? Here's what I want to do. I want to share with you what sometimes keeps us from hearing God clearly. What keeps us from sometimes hearing God clearly? The first is grief. If you're making notes, write down that word, grief. Now, I'm not saying that grief is so powerful that it makes it impossible for us to hear what God wants for our lives. What I'm saying is it can create a profound and powerful distraction. It can create a barrier. If you're grieving today over the loss of a loved one, if you're grieving the death of a human being, or if you're grieving the death of a relationship, I'm not telling you that it's impossible. Listen, God is sovereign. And if God desires to have our attention, he will have it. But I will tell you that when we are grieving, it can be very difficult to make sense of what God is trying to do and what God is trying to say to us. Grief can make it difficult for us to discern the will of God. That's why sometimes people who are grieving make bad decisions and blame it on God. That's why immediately following the death of a loved one, sometimes a godly person, a godly woman, a godly man may make a bad decision and say, I felt led to do this. Because grief can make it difficult to hear from the Lord clearly. Another thing that keeps us from hearing the Lord clearly is competing voices. People screaming to you. People trying to get your attention. Competing voices can muddle the voice of God. Again, God is sovereign. God is bigger. God is better. All of those things are true. But when you consistently flood your mind and flood your ears and flood your heart with all of these competing voices, it can make it hard to hear the voice of God. It can make it hard to receive the word of God, because all of these voices are just speaking to you from all over the place. Go back and read the Garden of Eden. That's exactly what happened. This perfect, beautiful, gorgeous place called the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had heard word from the Lord. They knew their marching orders. They knew their boundaries. They knew everything. But a competing voice came into their life and completely derailed the blessing that God had for them. Another thing that can make it difficult is inexperience. If you're a new believer here this morning, and you have a passion to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very possible, in fact, probable, that you will struggle with discerning the will of God. I'm thinking about young Samuel. If you're making notes, write down 1 Samuel and go back and study the book of 1 Samuel. There's Samuel, a hero of the faith, a man of God, somebody that God raised up to do powerful things on behalf of the Lord and the kingdom of God. And here he is in the temple. He's laying on his bed, trying to go to sleep. And God is calling out to him audibly, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel jumps up out of bed and goes to his mentor. His name is Eli. He goes to Eli's room and he says, here I am, Eli, you called for me. Eli said, I didn't call for you. You're crazy. Go back to bed. Well, he didn't say the crazy part. That's not in the Hebrew. But he said, go back to bed. And he does this over and over and over. Why? Because he was inexperienced. And so if you're new to growing in the faith, you need somebody in your life that can pray with you and guide you and mentor you. Another reality that can keep us from hearing the Lord clearly is mental illness. Now, these are practical, I understand. But if you're struggling with mental illness, it can create an extra obstacle or an extra barrier for you to understand what it is that God wants with your life. If you're suffering from depression, there's a whole gamut of mental illnesses that you can get help for, but it makes it difficult to hear the Word of God. And by the way, I don't think you have to be embarrassed about mental illness. I don't think that you have to be ashamed of mental illness. You know, the other day, I had a toothache and I had to go to the dentist. And I was not embarrassed at all to tell everybody on the staff that I had to go to the dentist because I had a problem with my tooth. And those of you who have surgery on more important things like your heart, or if you have kidney problems, or if you have bad knees and you have to have your knees replaced or your hips replaced, we're not embarrassed by that. And why is it then that so many people who struggle with mental illness feel so embarrassed by it, as though they can't talk about it? Listen to me, friend. If you struggle with mental illness, get help. It can make it difficult to understand what it is that God wants you to do. Another reason that we have a difficulty hearing from God sometimes is impatience. And so some of us, instead of waiting to hear what God wants, we just start doing stuff. Have you ever had somebody like that in your life? If they had to wait for you for more than five minutes, they're just going to get busy. They're not waiting for you. I'll make a decision. I'll do something. It may be wrong, but at least it'll be action, right? I mean, at least I'm doing something. Some of us are so busy doing the stuff that we decided to do that we're no longer listening to God because we think it's good stuff. We think it's biblical stuff. We think it's holy stuff. We think it's stuff that honors God. We think it's stuff that helps our family. And so we didn't have the patience to wait for God to teach us what he wanted for our lives. So I'm just going to start doing stuff. And I'm going to get so busy doing good stuff that I'm not even going to be listening to the Lord anymore. And that's another reason that sometimes we struggle to hear the Lord clearly. Now, the question is, what do I do in the meantime? While I am seeking the Lord, while I am waiting for the faithfulness of God to show through, because you've been thoroughly convinced this morning, right, that God wants you to know what he wants with your life, now that you know that, now that you know all the little dynamics that can make it difficult for you to hear, now the question is, what do I do in the meantime? So if God is going to speak to you tomorrow about the next step in your life, what do I do in the meantime? If it's going to take God a week, what do I do with that week? If it's going to take a month, what do I do with that month? What do I do while I am waiting? In the meantime, what do I do? Four things. First, relax. Relax. You say, you're one preacher. You're up there screaming like crazy. You need to relax. Yeah, but I'm passionate about this stuff. Friends, relax. Here's the collective truth. Not a single one of us in this worship center right now knows exactly what God has for us in the next 4 months. And so if you are sitting here this morning thinking you're the only person that doesn't have it all figured out, that hasn't heard from God from on high, that doesn't know exactly the roadmap to the way that your life is going to be and what it's going to be about and how it's going to end, relax. None of us do. In fact, when I find in Scripture, oftentimes, now, this may be a blessing or a curse to you, I don't know, but oftentimes, the only thing that God says to us is our very next step. You know that? Oftentimes in the Bible, I'm not saying every time, but oftentimes in the Bible, The only thing he says is our very next step. My question for you is not, are you going to be faithful with this big, long plan that God has planned for your life? My question is, are you going to follow him with that very next step? So what do? Relax. None of us know the totality of God's plan for our life. Continues to unfold. Secondly, dive in. Dive into Scripture and dive into community. When you are faithful in the Word of God and you are faithful in a small group, a community of people, you get two things. First, you get comfort while you don't know what God wants with your life, while you're listening for God to speak to you. In Scripture and in biblical community, you find comfort, but you also find guidance. What else do I do? Relax, dive in. Number three, worship. You may not know what God has for you next week. You may be at a crossroads in your life and you have no idea what the future holds for you, what God has for you, what God wants from your life. But here's what you do know. You do know there was this king named Jesus and he suffered on the cross for your sins. And you know that he was put in a tomb and you know that a couple of days later he came out of that tomb and you know that a couple of days later he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and you know that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know that he is holy and above all things. You know that he holds you in his hand. You know that he's coming back for you. So if you don't know what your next step is, that's okay, because what you do know is enough to drive you to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So what do I do in the meantime? I can relax a little bit. I can dive into the Word of God, and then I can just get lost in worship. And the fourth thing is to serve. Serve the people around you. Because while you're wondering what's next for your life, the people around you are broken. The people on your street are confused. The people that you work with or study with are suffering for some reason. And you may be caught all up in this, what does God want with my life? Well, what he wants with your life is to let your little light shine and go to the darkness. And if that's at your job, then that's at your job. If that's on your neighborhood, that's on your neighborhood. If that's in your home, then that's in your home. But what does God want with my life? Well, he may be revealing to me what the next step for me is, but in the meantime, I can worship and I can serve the broken people around me. So as I close, which one of those do you need to do? And as I close, surely we can agree that we should celebrate the goodness of God. Surely we can agree that we can celebrate the Lord's desire that we hear from him. Surely we can celebrate that God wants us to know what he's thinking. Surely we can celebrate the Lord's commitment. And surely we can celebrate the Lord's patience. Isn't it good that God is patient with us? Isn't it good that while we're trying to figure out what God wants with our life, he is so patient? You know, I go back to Samuel. I was telling you about Samuel. If you haven't studied that book, go back and study it. But little Samuel is trying to figure out what God is doing. God is audibly calling his name. And he's missing it. And he's running to a human being. And the human being, Eli, is missing it. And God is so patient, y'all. He calls Samuel's name. Samuel botches it. God is patient. He calls his name again. Samuel messes it up. God is patient. He calls his name again. Can you just let this sit on your heart? Can you just let this truth sit on your heart this morning? God is committed to communicating to you what it is that he wants with your life. And if for some reason you are missing it, he's a good God. And he's a patient God. But please, please, place as a priority what God wants with your life. Not what your friends want, your supervisor, your, it doesn't, none of those. What does God want with my life.